knowing, and you're God. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen, amen. Okay, you're ready for the word, right? Okay, well, too long and too far and too much, the church, God's ministry, when we get kicked, when we get abused, when things happen, when trials come, when situations occur, when trouble happens, we stay down. We stay down, and there's no reason for it. And you may be giving me reasons. And you know what? Here as a minister, as a pastor, anytime I ever gave a word to anyone, even before I was a pastor, I always had it in my heart that I don't ever want anyone to ever think like I have the audacity or the nerve to tell you a word, not knowing what you're experiencing, right? Have you ever anybody told you, hey, you're gonna get through, a pat you on the back and walk away, and like, did they even understand? I don't even know. And so I want you to know here right now that I tell you with love, with mercy, and with the grace of God that I don't give you my word, but I give you God's word. Only God knows what you're going through. I don't. And so I'm here to give you what God wants me to tell you. We're messengers, amen? Amen. And so not only does God want to tell you, but me too. This is God speaking to the pastor and his household first. It goes double for me. I got to practice what I preach. If it don't do anything for me, if I don't get nothing out of it, how am I going to give it to you? Paul says, I cannot give you anything that I have not yet experienced myself. Amen? Amen. So let's get down to it. Protoevangelium. This word, I pray, will be with you for the rest of your lives. That it won't leave my impression on you, but the everlasting impression of God's fingerprint upon you. Because that's an impression of eternity. Amen? And so protoevangelium, it only means one thing. It's something simple. It's something easy. The first gospel. The first gospel. The first mention of the gospel wasn't mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Or even the fifth gospel that some theologians want to say that the book of Acts is, because it's when the gospel was going forward, which is the Acts of the Apostles or the church. It's not when the gospel was mentioned. The first mention of the gospel was not in the New Testament. It was in Genesis. It was in Genesis 3, and we're going to read it. Amen? You ready? Okay, before I get to it, though, I'm going to start at 9 before I get to the mention of it. I'm going to start at verse 9 in chapter 3. Please pay attention, church. This is a word in season. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So the first thing I want to let you know is that when we ain't giving God the worship and the praise that he created us to give him, he knows. I don't care how many billions of people are here on this earth. The one that he called to give him worship, and when that one ain't worshiping him at that specific time, he knows. God was not saying that he didn't know where Adam was when he said, Adam, where are you? What he was saying was, Adam, I ain't feeling you anymore. I ain't got you in my presence no more. I ain't being worshipped by you anymore. Adam, what happened? You guys are with me? All right, I pray that you would receive it in Jesus' name. Stay with me. Adam, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the gardens, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And as he said, who told you that you were naked? God is speaking back to Adam. Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? You know, people like to say that there's micro sins and big sins and all that. You know what? Sin gives birth to sin. It grows and leads to death. Our standards and God's standards, the whole different thing. What they did was ate a fruit. There was no one to murder. There was no one to commit adultery with. There was no one to do anything with at that time. It was just them two. They ate a fruit. They committed an act of sin, which was disobedience. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to disobey. If we disobey God and not give him worship and carry our cross, well, then he has succeeded. But he's not going to succeed for long. I told you from before, when we first started, God always trumps. He always wins. Amen? Amen. 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 Give God glory. Go ahead. Amen. And so look what he said. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with, she gave me the tree and I ate. So now God is trying to get to the bottom of this. The problem is that God is not going to put up with him not having worship. God is not going to put up with him not being obeyed by his people and his children. And so he's going to get to the bottom of what's going on. And so he goes to Adam. Adam says it is the woman. Okay, so then God goes to the woman. And the Lord said to the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with, like it was God's fault, she gave me the tree and I ate. He's kind of scared, I could see. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So God said, okay, now I got to go to the serpent. God is going to get to the bottom of what had happened, of what is going on, of what stopped or separated man from God. Amen? Okay, so let's go on. So now it's the serpent. Okay, so let's talk to the serpent then. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle. We could see God is angry here. God is angry and he's going to deal with the devil here right now for doing something that God does not appreciate, which God knew. But we're not going to get to all that, not to bring confusion. But God is going to get to the bottom and fix this because he's not going to go on without receiving worship. And more than every beast of the field, on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. And here it goes. You ready for the gospel? This is the proto-evangelium right here. And between your seed and her seed, he shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That is the first mention of the gospel. That's the gospel in the book of Genesis 3, verse 14 and 15. And so what God did was, because you did this, there's going to be a plan that already has been devised before the beginning of time. And that's the cross. That's the cross. Do you remember when Jesus on the cross said, woman, behold your son? That was the fulfilling of the gospel. When he said, woman, behold your seed, your son, the gospel was fulfilled at the cross. That's why one of those seven sayings was said when he was saying that, when he was showing the devil, do you remember when you tried to defeat me when I came out of the 40-day fast? Do you remember when you tried to defeat me, when you tried to throw me off a mountain when I said I came to set the captives free? Do you remember when you tried to take me off the cross, when you said for the thief to say to me, save me and both yourself while you're at it? You lost. It's done. Mission accomplished. Woman, behold your son. Amen, right? Even Christmas was about the cross. What did King Herod do? He killed every newborn. Or no, every toddler that was 2 and under. Because by that time, it might have been a couple years. And he tried to kill the Messiah. Since from the beginning, the devil tried to eliminate the cross. You eliminate the cross, you eliminate salvation, you eliminate the Holy Spirit, you eliminate the worship from God's people. Amen? But here's the problem, though. God succeeded. He was effective. Plan that God had was for us to have his spirit was accomplished. The reason why he told the Pharisees the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven is because what he was about to go through for us to receive that Holy Spirit, I'm about to be beaten. I'm about to get lashed and crowned with thorns and nailed to a cross and suffer a criminal's death. I'm about to bleed on that cross. In Psalm 22, the Bible says that his bones was able to be counted. It was prophesied how much he was beaten. The Bible says in Isaiah 52 that he was beaten beyond the recognition of being called Jesus or a man. No, they thought he was a beast on that cross. And he says, you cannot make fun of the Holy Spirit or say that he's a demon or that he doesn't do the work of which my Father sent him to do, Pharisee. Because of what I'm about to go through for my people to receive them in order to call upon my name. And so now that we have the Holy Spirit, why are we still grieving the Spirit of God by not carrying our crosses? The cross that Jesus died on, he declared to us something very, very important. He said for us to carry our crosses. In Psalm 34, he says that his praises shall continually be in our mouths. Amen?
Are you guys with me, church? You getting bored yet? No, not yet. All right. All right. Well, let's get into the word a little bit. So I want to give you guys something. Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul, right? And so what does the word declare for Ananias when God told Ananias to go and restore Paul's sight back, or Saul's sight back before he was Paul? Look what he said. Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument in Acts 9, verse 15. He is my chosen instrument. God chooses instruments before the beginning of time. Look what he says. To take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him much that he must suffer for my name's sake. See, when a Christian sees suffering, the enemy wants to whisper in that Christian's ear and say, you shouldn't suffer. Where's your prosperity at? Where's your money at? Where's your raise at? Where's your good life at? When Jesus never hid nothing from us, he said, you will have trials. You will have tribulations. There's a prosperity gospel out there that's turning Christians away from the true gospel, and because they are getting let down by a false gospel. We're going to suffer. We're going to go through some stuff. The people who you think that wouldn't kick you, they're going to kick you. The ones who you think are going to be there for you are not going to be there for you, and even more, they're going to hurt you. People will let you down. The money won't always be right. The hospital is going to say some things. I went through it myself. My family had 7 diseases. I've been there. I've experienced it. But the Bible says that we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer something for God, for his glory, though. In fact, the disciples was beaten. And so when they left after getting beaten with rods, they said, we counted joy that God seen us being worthy for suffering shame for his name's sake. It's something beautiful. It's something amazing. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Here's another thing that Paul said. Because Paul got the understanding of what suffering was right after he told Ananias that. I mean, really, really, Paul knew that he was called to suffer, because that's what Jesus said. He said, go to him, because I must show him things he must suffer. This is 2 Timothy 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace that God has given you to be saved by is the same grace that he has given you to serve him with. And he says, be strong in this grace. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Amen? And so the Bible says, he who has enlisted you in this army, do not get entangled with the world's affairs. God has called you in an army. We are children of God, but at the same time, we're soldiers for God. And so what does a soldier do? He keeps on marching. He keeps on going. He doesn't let the world get to him. He doesn't let the devil to tell him as though he's not worthy to do anything that God has called him to do. Because you know what? That's something that finally the devil said that is right. I'm not worthy. Nor will you ever be. So don't think that I'm not worthy and I shouldn't be. No, you shouldn't. You're telling yourself the truth. You never will be worthy to suffer for God. You'll never be worthy to do the will of God. None of us are good. That's what the law did for us. The law was to show us how bad we are. It gave us a consciousness of sin. I see God's good law, and Paul says in Romans 7, nothing good comes from me. This law's too good. It's too holy. There's nothing good in me. No matter how much righteous things I do, I'll never be good enough according to God's standard. That's why we got Christ. We got his righteousness. Amen? That's a beautiful thing. So we could tell the enemy. We could tell our conscience. We could say, you know what? I'm not worthy. I shouldn't be carrying my cross. I shouldn't be doing the will of God. I shouldn't be on this altar. I shouldn't be in that chair. I shouldn't be walking through those doors. But only by the grace of God. You got to be strong in God's grace. Amen? Amen. 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 It's only by the grace of God. I want to read you something for you guys. Matthew 10. You're still with me, right? Okay. We'll go to Mark first. Okay, I want to remind us by the Holy Spirit that we're saved and we've been called to save others. And that's what carrying our cross, amen? But before I get to that, I want to let you know something, that if we're ever in a situation, and if it's right now, I feel that the Lord has been leading me to say this here tonight, that if if you're ever saying this to him, that, Lord, I gave up so much for you. I gave up my life for you. I tithe in the church. I do things that you want me to do. Why do I still have to suffer? Why do I still have to be in my situation? I did so much for you, God. Where's mine at? And I want to let you know that Peter said the same thing. And I want to let you know what Jesus' response to that. So this was the rich young ruler. I'm not going to get into the story. But this is the rich young ruler walking away from Jesus sad because he didn't want to follow Jesus by selling all his possessions. So then look what happens. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then could be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we've left everything and followed you. That's something Jesus didn't take lightly. Jesus didn't let Peter get away with him saying that. Because Peter just seen the rich young ruler not sell all he had and follow Christ. And so Peter wanted to look like he was blessed and he was holy in front of God and say, we left everything and followed you. As though God owes him something for that. Watch this, verse 29. So Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is none who has left houses, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, wives, children, lands for my sake and for the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. Don't think that you left anything behind for the gospel or for me. Don't think that you gave up something and gave up everything as though the gospel owes you something, as though now we're in debt to you. What Jesus told them, you're going to receive 100 times fathers, mothers. How could I have 100 fathers, 100 mothers? How? You're going to have a family of God. You're going to be in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven as a family. You're going to receive that family now in this life to enjoy one another as a church, as the body of Christ, as well as the life to come. You're going to receive everything 100-fold, 100 times better, 100 times more. But with persecutions, he says. You've got to get persecuted. You've got to go through some stuff, Peter. You guys are with me, right? Okay, Matthew 10. We're going to go to Matthew 10, verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, these are the words of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus right now speaking to the Church of Wisconsin and to the Romanian Gypsy Church, telling us that, look it, you're looking for everything to be smooth. You're looking for everything to be A-okay. You're looking for everything to be peachy creamy. You're looking for everything to be great and awesome, and you're going to be ahead of your bills, and you're going to be a 401k, and no one's going to hurt you, and you're not going to have sleepless nights, and everybody's going to get along and sing Kumbaya, my Lord. Right here he's saying, I didn't come for you to do that. I did not. Look what he says. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. This is what the gospel does. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So look what God is saying here. God is saying for us to hate our fathers, hate our mothers, hate our brothers, hate our sisters. What does that mean, hate? To hate your life. Back then, the word hate was to love less. Meaning, I'm not going to compete for your love. I'm not going to sit here and watch you love your children, your family, or your life more than you love me. If you don't pick up your cross and hate your life and love less everything else besides me, you're not worthy of me. If you're truly in love with this gospel, you'll die for it. You see, before the Holy Spirit, what did Peter do? He denied Jesus 3 times. After the Holy Spirit, hang me on a cross upside down. You get it? You got this Holy Spirit, not give up spirit. You got the Spirit of the living God that lives in you, and nothing should keep you from going forward but yourself. I could be my worst enemy. The devil's standing by sitting, I'll take credit for this one, when really I'm my own enemy. God is not the tempter. It's our selfish evil desires that lead us astray and make us indulge. Amen? Amen. Amen. A few more scriptures. You guys are with me, right? You guys are receiving it, right? Yes. Okay. Matthew 12:43. Watch what he says. Now we have to understand, if God could get us down and keep us down from carrying our cross, well then people are going to not carry theirs because they haven't heard the message of the cross. There are people out there overdosing on drugs, going to hell, on their way to destruction on the white road. And so if he can get us saying, woe is me, my life ain't right, and not everything is going good, why, the world just passes us by. That's what the enemy's plan is, to stop salvation. He's still got that pride in thinking that he could, but he can't. God's in control, right? Amen? So then why the word of God then, if God already has it already figured out? Well, because this is the way that God gave us. He gave us to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? The Bible says those who call by the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? This is just a side note. Okay, well, that's Romans 10:9. 5 verses later, it says this. But how are they going to believe in him if they never heard of him? And how are they going to believe in him if they never heard of him if we don't send preachers to go out and preach to them? Amen? So now this is how we receive our faith too, after even being saved. By hearing the word of God to get back on the path of righteousness, to get back on doing the will of God. Praise God. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I pray that's what we're doing right now is receiving faith. So here's what happens. Watch this. Jesus goes and says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he's talking to the Pharisees, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I'll return to my house, which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him other spirits, wicked, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first state. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Before I go any further to finish my point in this, what Jesus is saying here is, just because someone is delivered or because a demon leaves that person, they're worse than the first state. Why? Because the indwelling of the Holy Spirit didn't happen. If the indwelling of the Holy Spirit happened to that person, that demon wouldn't be able to come with him or 7 more. So the problem is, we ain't out there preaching and ministering to people to be set free to receive this Holy Spirit. The enemy's got us where he wants us. Woe is me. Woe is me. Instead of carrying our cross. You're with me, right? While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. This is a great point. Then one said to him, look, your mother, your brothers, they're standing outside. They're talking to Jesus. They're standing outside seeking to speak with you. Watch what Jesus says. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? He stretched out and toward his disciples and pointed to them and said, here's my mother. Here's my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, is my sister, and is my mother. Jesus even said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. He came to die on a cross. And he came so that he would die on that cross so Paul could write in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is God's power to those who are being saved. You could take this church and dress it up in all the fancy stuff, have the best instruments, and have the treasury full of money. But if there's no cross preaching, there's no power. You could take a car, a Mercedes-Benz, Put all the beautiful things on it. Make it look so beautiful. Let it be that $200,000 car. If there's no battery in it, it ain't going nowhere. Well, the power of the church is the preaching of the cross. This church ain't going to go nowhere, nor any other church, if you don't preach the cross. That's God's power, the Bible says. Amen? Amen. So why did he say that also? So he could emphasize and stress out that we must carry ours. And I finish with this scripture. You ready for the grand finale? Here it is. Too many times, we're always worried about, and this is fine. I always love hearing a word. I need a word from the Lord, of course. Praise God. But too many times, we're too worried about ourselves that it's like every week, every month, I need a word from the Lord. I need a word from the Lord. I need a word from the Lord because I can't get through this. I can't get through this. Here's the word from the Lord. People are going to hell. They're out there. They need to be saved. Carry your cross. Deny yourself. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. Have a relationship with him. Your relationship that you have with him doesn't keep you saved. No. That's not the gospel. The blood of Christ that was poured out for you keeps you saved. But a person who's saved has a relationship. And what do we do in that relationship? We read the word. We worship God. We attend to our ministry. We don't give up. We allow the Holy Spirit to instruct us. Amen? And so here it goes. Hebrews 12. Now, I'm going to read in the Message translation, and I don't study from the Message, but sometimes I'll read it just to give out a point. But in the regular translations, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, "For the joy set before the Lord endured the cross." And so there was a joy that the Lord had in order for Jesus to endure the cross. The word endure means to continue to exist. When something's trying to take out your existence, even if you're alive, if you could stop worshiping God, it's as though you're dead, right? And so Jesus was enduring the cross. And so what helped him endure? Well, Hebrews 12, 2 says, it was the joy that was set before him. Who was that joy? You. You was that joy that kept him going, carrying his cross, so that he would be the joy set before us to carry ours. Amen? And I finish with this. Do you see what this means? This is Message translation, Hebrews 12. All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it, strip down, and start running. Never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. He put up with the cross. He put up with the shame. He put up with whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your fate, meaning getting tired and weary and you want out, go over that story again. Go over it again, what he went through. Item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline through your souls. You need an adrenaline rush? You need some adrenaline shooting through your souls? Read Isaiah 53. And then read the Gospels of it being fulfilled. If that don't get you going, well, then we got to have a talk. There's something wrong. Amen? Amen. So know this, that when Jesus was carrying his cross, I believe it's in Matthew 27. It says that the soldiers made Simon help him carry that cross, right? I don't think the soldiers made him do anything. God is all-knowing, and nothing happens without God allowing it to happen with a reason, right? And so here's the picture I want you to understand. If God gave Jesus a helper to help carry his cross, because his cross was too heavy at that time, how much more do you think that you have the helper, which is the Holy Spirit, to help you carry yours? He didn't tell you to carry your cross and try the best you can. You got the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that in the New Testament, and he'll give you another helper. Who was the first helper? Eve. She messed up. Right? Got him kicked out of the garden, right? Well, I'll give you another helper, the Bible says. the Holy Spirit. He'll help you carry your cross. As heavy as your cross is with all its splinters and weight, he gave you the power and the strength by the Holy Spirit to carry it. He knows you best. He knows you more than you know you. Amen? That's your message for today. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name.